circumstances that do distract us, that get my attention on the nasty now and now and take it off of the sweet by and by. Amen. And I'm thankful, though, that the Lord is always there to remind us that He's got something better promised for us. Amen. Something to encourage us, something to keep us looking up at Him, looking ahead. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Once you get there, go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word, if you would, please. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, and unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Now our text is going to be in verse 8 here. I do want us to see one thing. I'll bring it out in a minute. Let's look at verse 8. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. I want to look this morning at the life of Abram and talk about it's not your all, it's the call. It's not your all, it's the call. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you this morning, Lord. So thankful, Lord, that you have given us a promise, Lord. You've promised, Lord, a place for all eternity with you, Lord, if we'll just call on your name, Lord. Your word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Lord. And I believe we've got some folks here, Lord, that have called on your name at one point in time in their life, Lord. And we are looking for that sweet Beulah land, Lord. We're looking for that trumpet to sound, Lord. We are truly anxiously waiting, Lord, eagerly awaiting when it is that you'll come and take your children home, God. But Lord, we're here. Lord, you may come this afternoon. Lord, you may come before this message is over, but Lord, we're here right now. And Lord, we need to see some things, and I pray, God, you'd show us those things, Lord. I pray, God, if there's someone here, Lord, that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they'd not leave here today in that state, Lord, that they would realize that they need you, Lord. I pray, God, for the child of God, that you'd help us to see, Lord, that it's not just what we can do for you, Lord. It's what you have done for us, Lord. It's not about what we can do. It's not about our all, Lord. It's about grace and calling out on you. Lord, we ask now that you just have your way. Bless your word, Lord. Bless your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. In the beginning of our chapter, there's a word that really stuck out at me. It's three letters. It's the fourth word there in verse 1, had. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. When I saw that, and I had already read chapter 12, I don't read the Bible, you know, backwards. So I'd already read chapter 12 just before I'd read this part, but I saw that word had, and I thought about something. The Lord had said, and then that means that God had said it before this point. It didn't say, and the Lord God said, it said the Lord God had said. So I look back, and I look back to when Abram was living in Ur of the Chaldees, and that when they did leave Ur, it wasn't Abram that left, it was Terah. Okay, so I want to look at a few things here. I want to look at a few things before we get to verse 8. I want to look at Abram's life before verse 8, all right? Abram receives a calling. That's the first thing we see here, is Abram receives a calling. But chronologically, if we look at this, that word had means he received it before that verse. So I wanted to look back. God did say to him, he said, Abram, I want you to leave your country. He said, I want you to leave. He wanted him, he was calling him from his familiarity. Amen? Listen, we like where we live, right? Anybody in here just love to move? You do? Miss Sylvia, you are a strange bird, let me tell you. I don't like moving. You know why? Because it's change. I don't like change. And not to mention, I got to pick up everything and I got to go. And that's a lot of work because I've seemed to have accumulated some stuff. So I don't like moving. I liked it when I was in the military because when you're in the military and they say, okay, you're going to move from here to here, they send a big truck and about five or six guys and they pack up everything. And I mean, I don't have to even pull my underwear out of my drawers, okay? They pack everything, all right? And they pack it all up into a truck and it goes to where I'm going before I get there. Now, that kind of moving, that's okay, except for the change part. Don't like the change. I like things the way they are. I don't like things being different. Different is different, okay? I don't like unfamiliar things. I like familiarity. But God had called Abram from his familiarity. Where he had grown up. He'd grown up in Ur. This is where he lived his whole life. This is where Terah had raised him. This is where he played with his brothers, Nahor and Haran. This is where he grew up listening to the stories from Grandpa Nahor. This is where he lived. And here it is, God calls him and says, I want you to leave the things that are familiar. I want you to leave the things that you know. I've got something better for you. Then he says, I want you away from your kindred. He says, he had a call from his family. If you don't know, y'all, I know those down home know what kin means. Kin is short for kindred, all right? Those of us that are Yankees, we may not know what kin means, but it's family, all right? And so God calls him from his family. What's this mean? Well, God says, look, your aunts, your uncles, Grandpa Nahor, Haran and Nahor, and even your mom, your cousins, you got to leave everybody. Leave where you're familiar from. Leave your family. I've got something better for you. This is what God tells Abram. And he had told him this before we get to chapter 12, verse 1, because the Bible says had said. Amen? Had is past tense, okay? I haven't studied English for a long time. I did in high school. I was really good at it. I know you wouldn't know that by the way I talk, but I was. And had is past tense. So God had said this to Abram. And then he said, and I want you to leave your father's house. So he got a call from his familiar. That's a hard word for me. That's almost as hard as righteousness. Familiarity. He wanted him to leave his family, and he wanted him to leave his father. Now, Terah was his dad. Now, I know it's customary for us nowadays, I mean, for us men to grow up and leave our father's house and go and make it on our own. If you have any other inclination, there might be a problem, okay? I would say that you might not have the manhood gene yet, but that's me. I'm a jerk, okay? Because, listen, man, when I turned 18, I was ready to go out and make it on my own. Now, realizing now that as an 18-year-old, I was an absolute idiot. I probably should have waited until I was about 30. Okay? Why are you laughing? But hindsight and all, okay? But anyways, God called him from these things, his family, his country, his father's house. But that's not what we see. See, he received this call, but then Abram relied on his father. Now, you may say, well, how do you see that? Well, look there in chapter 11. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter, and this is verse 31, I'm sorry, of chapter 11. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And then they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now, I don't see anywhere in my Bible that God went and talked to Terah. I don't. The Bible says God had said to Abram. So God went and talked to Abram. And he said, I want you to leave your country, I want you to leave your kindred, and I want you to leave your dad, your father's house. But for the best of me, all I can figure is Abram must have went and said, Dad, I've got to go. Now, listen, when what time comes that my son comes to me and says, Dad, it's time for me to step out? I know what my heart's going to be. There's going to be a part of me that's going to be, well, I'm proud of how you're doing this, son. I hope if he doesn't do it wrong. If he does it wrong, I've got a shotgun. Okay, and look, I don't have to kill him, but I can maim him. A little buckshot to the knee, and he might not walk the same way again. I hope he's listening, not sleeping with Brother Fred right now. I can't see them back there. They're in their own world. So, but what in what time that he comes to me and he says, it's time, Dad, for me to step out on my own, there's going to be a part of me that's going to be proud, but there's going to be a part of me that's going to be like, son, you're my son. I don't want you to go. How about I go with you? Now, that part of me won't speak out because I know how it's going to be received. And don't tell him I said this, okay, because I don't want him thinking I'm all weird and stuff. But I know that I'm going to be like, don't go. You're my son. And I can just see Abram going to Terah and saying, Dad, I got to go. God wants me to go to a land that he's going to show me. Well, who's God? That's a good question. He just came and started talking to me. Abram, have you lost your mind? Well, I don't think so. But he seems really sincere about what he's going to do for me, so I'm going to follow him. Well, Abram, I think you should let me go with you. This is how I see it going. Because Terah doesn't want... He'd already lost one son. Haran had died. Lot's dad. He'd already lost one son. And so I see Terah going out with Abram. And Abram should have said, I don't know. He should have said, well, Dad, you know, God kind of wants me to do this on my own. God told me to leave you. I don't know if he should have said, because you're a wicked, vile person, because I don't know what Terah was, but that probably wouldn't have gone very well, Chris. So he said, okay. So they do. They pack up and they leave. Now, Nahor doesn't go. And I know this because it doesn't say Nahor goes, does go. And plus, a couple generations later, somebody goes back to see Nahor here in Ur, Padanaram. So I know that Nahor doesn't go. But Lot and Abram and Sarai and Terah, they pack up and they leave. But the thing is, they don't get to Canaan. The Bible gets there, and it says there in chapter 11, verse 31, that they got to Haran and they dwelt there. Okay? But I see that Abram relied on his father. Instead of trusting God, instead of doing what he said, he relied on his father. He got held up in Haran. They got there. Now, I don't know what was in Haran, and you might be like, well, how did they get to Haran? Isn't that his son's name? Well, here's my guess. They got there, and it was a decent enough place, and they said, well, let's call it Haran in remembrance of, you know, my son. So that's probably why it was called Haran, and I'm just guessing here, okay? And I think I might be right, so... But they got held up there. They stayed there. Now, I don't know how long they were there. I don't know how long, but this is where they were. And this is not where God had told Abram to go. So there was some hurting in Haran. You know how I know this? Terah died. His dad died. So Abram had to come to realization that maybe I shouldn't have brought Dad. Maybe this shouldn't have happened. Now, I'm just guessing that maybe Abram felt this way. But then what he did was he headed out of Haran. Bible says he started up, he got Sarai, he got Lot, and he headed, and all of his things, and he headed for Canaan. Then Abram does something. He gets to Canaan. He realizes he's in Canaan. All right? Now this is the land that God was going to show him. And this is the land that God did show him. He got there. And while he's on his way, and listen, I like doing this, I just do. You know that God puts things in here on purpose in this Bible, amen? And I know I say that a lot, and I'm being a little facetious right now, but I'm being serious. God puts things in here on purpose. And there's a place that he goes by, a place called Sichem or whatever. I don't know, we can say Sichem, but I don't know how to pronounce these words. But what it is, it's talking about about a burden. This is a place of burden. He passed that place. See, God gets us past those burdens, amen? He got Abram past the burden. Then he gets to the place called Merah or whatever it's called, and that's a place of rain, okay? He gets past the place of rain, all right? He gets past the burden. He gets past, ran past into the rain, and then, the Bible says, then somebody appeared unto him. He met the master. Somebody appeared unto him. Now, God didn't appear unto him in Ur. Y'all get that, right? God talked to him, but God didn't appear. He said God had said. He got God's word in Ur to go somewhere else. God called him out from those things. Then, when he gets to where God told him to go, he gets God's presence. Now, God's word is good, but when you get God's word and God's presence, it's better. That's why we come here. Amen? Amen. So, Abram gets there and he gets God's presence. He meets the master. Now, up to this point, there's something I haven't seen in Abram's life yet. Listen, I've seen obedience. Now, at first, yes, it was partial obedience because he didn't leave his father's house, did he? He left his country, he left his kindred, but he didn't leave dad. And dad went with him. There was a price for that. There was some hurting that he had to go through for that. And he dwelt in a place that wasn't the land of blessing for a while. He did all that, but he's past all that. So I've seen some obedience. Abram did what God told him to do. Now, I want you to notice something here. In verse 7 of chapter 12, when the Lord appeared, it says, "The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." So Abram has showed some obedience. Amen? He's done what God told him to do. And just like everybody else, there are very few people that obey God right off all the way in there. And you can go ahead and look at yourself for a second, okay? Because we have a hard time. It's hard, especially when you're not familiar with who God is. When you're just learning who God is, and God tells you to do something, it's hard to just go ahead and take Him at His word. It is. Let's just be honest when you're unfamiliar with those things. So Abram struggled like most of us would, if not all of us would. He struggled with the obedience thing, but he obeyed God. He did what God said, and God had blessed him for it. If you didn't notice, when he left Haran, he had all kinds of stuff. See, God blesses obedience. He does. I mean that. You won't prove me wrong on that. God blesses obedience. So Abram obeyed. And then when God appeared unto him, Abram sees the Lord. Now, y'all know who this is, right? God, because the Bible's explicit. The Bible's very, very serious about this. No man can look on God the Father and live. Okay? So this isn't God the Father that Abram's meeting here. And God is a spirit. So this isn't the Holy Spirit that Abram is meeting here. This is someone that is appearing to him. And it's the Lord. It's Jesus. Amen? So he meets the Master. He meets Jesus. The Lord appears unto him. And what does he do? He worships him. He built an altar. So I see obedience in Abram's life. I see worship in Abram's life. And these are good things. Amen? These are good things. And God had blessed him for it. God said, "Unto thee I will give this land, and unto thy seed." God's going, "I'm going to promise you all these things. Abram, I'm going to bless you because of your obedience. I'm going to bless you, Abram." And because of that, that caused Abram to worship. But you know what I haven't seen up to this point? I haven't seen Abram call on the name of the Lord yet. Did y'all catch that? I hadn't seen that. He was, but Pastor, he was obeying God. Well, yeah, but you know, the world can obey God and get blessed for it. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. If you obey your parents, then your days are long in the land. That's a promise from God's word. That's a promise to everybody, saved and unsaved alike. If you don't steal or kill, God blesses you for it, whether you're a child of His or not. If you follow God's moral compass, whether you're a child of God or not, God blesses you for it. That's just God. That's how good He is. Amen. And I would even say that there are those that are obeying God in their life, and God appears unto them. And God shows them Himself. It's called a manifestation. God shows His realness to them. But that still don't save you. Just because God shows up, that don't save you. It might even cause you to fall on your face, build an altar unto God, and worship Him. But it don't save you, does it? Worshiping God doesn't save you. Just telling you, okay? You won't find any Bible to disagree with me on this. Worshiping God doesn't save you. But this is what Abram done. He has obeyed God. God has appeared unto him. God has manifested Himself to him. God has given him promises. Now, God didn't say, if you call on my name, I'll give you these promises. God promised him these things. But see, here's the thing. When God calls on you, when you hear God's word, and God starts to speak to you and show you Himself, and then when He appears to you, it will help you change your life. It will help you go towards where He's at. It will do these things. But I want you to notice a couple other things that it does here in Abram's life. See, Abram now has met the Master, and he recognizes righteousness. And I want you to notice where he's at here in verse 8. See, he just met God. God had promised him again. He'd built an altar. He had worshipped God. And then he removed from where that was, this altar that he had built, and he went into a mountain on the east of Bethel. So he's east of Bethel. So that means Bethel is on his west. And the Bible says, having then Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. Now, I want to tell you a couple things. Bethel is what? Somebody tell me. I know you guys know this one. God's house, house of God. That's what Bethel means. All right? It's the house of God. So he has got the house of God to the west of him. I'm making sure I'm going right. To the west of him. And he's got the place called Hai on the east of him. Well, I knew what Bethel meant, but I had to look up something else. I wanted to see what Hai meant. And you know, God bless my soul for it. You know what Hai means? Well, first it means it's a place in Canaan, okay? But when you look up the root of the word, it means ruin, as if overthrown. And I want you to picture something here with me. Here Abram is. He's left what's familiar. He's left his family. He's left his father. His life has been overturned. His life has been completely changed, as if in ruin. What he knew is ruin now because he's been promised something better. And here he is. He's in between this place of ruin, this place of overthrown of his old life and the house of God. He's in between this. And I want you to see what he does when he's in this place, when he's in this twixt in his life. He's right here. You know what he does? There he builded another altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, there might be some who want to argue with me. I don't care. I don't want to argue. I just show you, I just see there in God's word that Abram just got saved. Why? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He called on the name of the Lord. First time I've seen it in Abram's life. All these years have gone by. Whatever, however old he was in Ur until he got to Haran, I don't know. But at Haran until he got to Canaan, he was 75 years old when he left Haran. 75 years old. He had lived a good portion of life before he left Haran. And here, when he leaves there, and he's blessed with all these things, but his life has been overturned. His life has been ruined. The things that he used to know don't mean anything anymore because he's been promised something so much better by God. And so here he is in that place. And finally, see, having met the Master, God has given him his word and now has shown himself to him. Abram calls on the name of the Lord. Abram gets saved. Now, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? Isn't that what happened to most, if not all, most of us? We got to where God turned our old life upside down. He called us away from it. He turned it upside down and overthrew it, and it was ruined to us. And here we are in between that and in between what God wants for us at God's house, and we have a decision to make. And hopefully, like Abram, we would call on the name of the Lord. Amen. And there where we get saved. And that's what Abram does, and it's a wonderful thing, but then Abram does something that so many children of God, new children of God, do. Abram once again relies on self. I know this because if you continue reading in the chapter there, and there was a famine. The Bible says, and Abram journeyed in verse 9, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, church, I know y'all know what Egypt is a type of. What's Egypt a type of? The world. The Egypt is a type of the world. And here Abram is. He's just called on God. And let me tell you something. I can see this, especially now that I've been pastoring and doing RU, and I've got the opportunity to win folks to the Lord. Listen, I wish to God, I wish, oh my word, that all those that I've got to lead the Lord in the last 8 years were sitting here today. I wish that was the case. That would please me, and just because I can see the fruit. Because listen, I'm flesh. I want to see how God's using me. I know that God's using me. I know He's promised to use me, but I want to see those things. But you know what I find? I find this all the time. Folks get in between the place where God overthrows their life and in between the house of God, and they'll call out on the name of the Lord and praise God, they'll get saved, and here comes the famine. And a hard time. Something, whatever reason it might be, and I don't know what it is, it's something different for everybody. Something happens and takes them to Egypt,
takes them away from God's house, takes them away from their old life, but takes them down to the world and then goes down and just trashes their testimony. Because that's what happened to Abram. When he goes down to Egypt, he trashed his testimony. He went down there, he said, "Honey, Sarah, you're hot. And I'm afraid that Pharaoh might kill me for you, so let's just tell everybody you're my sister." Now that's a lie if y'all didn't know that. Well, technically, she is related because she's Haran's daughter. Fine. She's his wife. Amen? So what's he do? He goes down to Egypt and he trashes his testimony. Why did he go down there, though? Why did he go down there? Why? Did God send him there? God said, go to Canaan, didn't he? God said, go to Canaan. God takes him to his house. God says, here's my house. Here's something better for you. Just keep obeying me. Just keep worshiping me. And now it gets even better because you've called out on me. And then the famine comes and he heads down south. He heads down towards Egypt. Trashes his testimony. And I see that. I see that in 99% of the folks that I've won to the Lord. That the Lord has used me to see them call on the name of the Lord. Egypt comes. The famine comes. And they rely on themselves. Why? They haven't learned how to rely on God. And I've tried so many times. Just trust God. Just trust God. Just trust God. Just this week I've been trying to get somebody to understand. Just put God first. If you'll put Him first, He'll take care of the famine. If you'll put Him first, He'll take care of that situation in your life. If you'll put Him first, if you'll pick Him, He'll bless you. And I try and I try and I try to get folks to understand that, but I can't make them understand that. I don't get it. And I'm not bringing a point out right now. I'm telling you, I don't get it. But I look back at my life and I did it. I remember when I got saved. Now, I'm not going to lie, the first few weeks, man alive, you didn't have a fire extinguisher big enough to put it out. I was excited. But eventually, there was a famine. And it took my focus off of God. And I went back to things that I shouldn't have got back to. So while I don't understand why it's happening, I do in a way because, man, it can be hard to just continue to obey God and to trust the unfamiliar. It's hard to leave your family when God tells you to. It's hard to forsake the old things. The Bible says that he that hath his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. That's what it says. I've never been fit for the kingdom of God. I look back all the time. And so I see this in people's lives, and I see that Father Abraham did this. The patriarch of our faith, the friend of God, right after he gets saved, relied on himself. And he goes down to Egypt. He fled from the famine. He ended up in Egypt, and he tore up his testimony. Now, the good thing is, I'm glad the story doesn't end there. Abram didn't stay there. I want you to see something here. Chapter 13, verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold, and went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent, there's that word, had, again. Where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai. Under the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there, Abram called on the name of the Lord. Here Abram is, he's down in Egypt. Listen, if famine don't kill you, Pharaoh will. Y'all understand that? He was convinced that famine was going to kill him, so that's why he fled. He gets down there, tears up his testimony, doesn't... And listen, I don't care who you are. I don't care. I don't care, okay? I don't believe I'll be proven wrong on this. You cannot be blessed by God the way that He wants to bless you when you don't obey Him. You can't. I mean, yeah... God does take care of His children. Listen, Abram still had all his stuff. Egypt didn't take his stuff. And I think that's only because he wasn't there for too awful long. All right? But you go down, you go ahead and you fear for whatever it is in your life, and you forsake where it is that God has you, just like Abram has, and you go down there and you're going to find out that there's just as much fear and dread there as there was back there. But the what isn't down there is the presence of God. What isn't down there is God's house. What isn't down there is the blessings of God that He has for you. They're back where you had been. And thank God Abram realized that. And he didn't go back to Ur. Why? That's not where the blessings were at. He remembered. The goodness of the Lord led to repentance. So what did he do? He went back to where he had been. And he called on the name of the Lord again. Did Abram get saved again? No, no. Listen, I called on the name of the Lord back in September 28th of 1998, and I got saved. But I've called on the name of the Lord many times since then. Not to be saved, but for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That takes a calling out. It does. You've got to call out to Him. And that's what Abram does. He calls out to Him. He calls out. He goes back. He goes back to that place because this old life was ruined and overthrown. And God's got something better here. He goes back to there. Back to that altar. And listen, folks, we got to have an altar. And if you've ever called on the name of the Lord, you've got an altar. And I don't know where it is. I don't know where it is, but you do. And God will tell you where it is, and He'll point you back there. And you need to get back there, and you need to get on that altar, and you need to call on His name again. And I'm not saying you got to get resaved, but you need to get right. And that's what Abram did. He goes back and he gets right by calling on the name of the Lord. Abram had to learn that it wasn't his obedience or his worship that saved him. It was the name of the Lord. As he left Ur and went to Haran, he had to learn the hard way. That obedience isn't enough. Obedience doesn't save us. That's works. Yeah, God will bless obedience whether you're saved or not, but obedience doesn't save you. Even obedience plus worship. Yes, I listen, I live a good life, and I talk to people all the time. You know what I do? I live a good life. I'm good to people. I try and help people out, and I know who God is, and I pray to Him all the time. I obey God, and I worship God. But that don't mean you're saved. Have you ever called on the name? Have you ever been a sinner? Have you ever realized in your sin that you need Him? Abram had to learn that obedience and worship don't mean you're saved. It's about calling on the name of the Lord, that name of Jesus. Because that's who appeared unto him. And when whatever time it is that you got saved or you're going to get saved, it's going to be because Jesus has appeared unto you. You've heard His word and you've got a little faith from it. You've obeyed it a little bit. But then He's going to make Himself real to you. You're going to see Him high and lifted up, and you're going to say, I need that. I need Him. Jesus. Because Abram saw Jesus. Abram had to learn that it wasn't about obedience. It wasn't about worship. It's not about your all. It's about the call. And then Abram had to learn that after he was saved, his obedience and worship would never take him from the Savior. Are you following me here? Abram learned, okay, this situation is hard. And instead of thinking, well, God can get me through it, Abram thought, well, my obedience and my worship will just take care of me. As long as I keep knowing who God is, then I'll be all right down here in Egypt. Don't tell, is that what the Bible says? Don't tell me that's not what he thought. Don't tell me that. And that's what we think. We think that, well, God's just going to be okay with it. I mean, He loves me. I'm His child. So I can head on down here to Egypt. And we think that. And Abram thought that. Because I'll just keep on obeying Him, and I'll keep on worshiping Him. We know what that is. That's a lie. That's a lie because God didn't say go to Egypt, did He? He said go to Canaan. And God doesn't tell us. Listen, God's obedience, obeying God, God's word, God's will never take you away from the Savior. It won't. But praise God. When what time we realize that we have gotten away from our Savior, He always gives us that opportunity to go back. Go back to that old altar and call on His name again. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The altar's open.